And maybe at this point, it's kind of like, I feel like we're kind of bullying the Scottish culture right now.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that, but it's giving Scottish people.
It's giving ill British. Pew, 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 pew.
What's happening?
I don't know.
What's happening?
All right, welcome back, Melanin fam. It's your co-host, Natalia, and...
Lanisha.
And we're back with a fresh season.
Yeah, we're back. We're back and we're better.
We're back and we're better. Where are we?
In the UK, more specifically Scotland. Mm-hmm. Scotland is everything that you see on TV. That's the one thing I keep comparing. When I see people on the streets, I'd be like, oh, I see you guys on TV. And they're just like, a laugh about it. And like, for example, the tracksuits, which are now called Neds here. We do know that.
Oh, the people in tracksuits? Yeah, that sell Neds. Drugs.
Mm-hmm. Don't know why we laughed about that.
But that's the first thought. Tracksuits.
Drugs.
Drugs. Neds. Got it.
Wow, you look exactly like you do on TV. But yeah, so back with a new season. I'm super excited because I feel like we have so much going on or coming soon, basically, with our podcast. We're growing. We're learning. We're asking for the help, which is something everybody in our generation needs to do. But also, I feel like this one's going to hit home for a lot of people, a lot of relatability, a lot of like, okay, hopefully as well, some resources that people may not have known about and want to be like, either learn more or be like, yes, this is exactly where I needed to be in the right position. And this podcast just came to you at the right time. That's really what I want.
Which is so funny because, not gonna lie, as we were recording this podcast, or the episodes that are coming soon, keep listening.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. Yeah, like, it's just having those conversations were definitely like, oh, mm-hmm. This is where I needed to be mm-hmm. at that moment, at mm-hmm. that time, taking this in, and just, man, fucking building a community.
Yeah, building a community. If you don't know, that is the theme.
if you don't know, then you will know.
unintentionally, though, it really is the theme of this like podcast. It's like community. And like, even though, again, we're in Scotland, I think this can be so relatable to anybody like thinking about either doing the same thing we're doing as moving to another state, moving to another country. Like, that community is so strong. And just so, like, buildable in not only your skills, but, like, as a person, you kind of grow and learn. I absolutely love. So, yeah, I'm so excited we started this back up. And honestly, starting the podcast back up, I'm not going to lie. Like, a lot of meetings, a lot of, like, how do we want to come back out bigger, better, stronger? What is our values? Like, I think our values always been the same of just, like, building community. I feel like I should find
another phrase.
But also be authentic, because we ourselves are a diverse group. Even though we're both Americans, we all have our own culture, and that in itself like represents our personality. So I think that's what we wanted, is to find out other people's culture and have them talk about it. Because again, we have that American mindset and the views of an American. But when you're actually speaking to someone from, I don't know, Asia or the UK itself, they have a different perspective of the world. Mm-hmm. Even though they may have our skin tone like you and I. And it's just so fascinating to hear their stories. It's like, really? Ah, that was over there as well. Like, I think I did that a lot during this season, where I was like, wow, it didn't even fathom to me that even can like happen to you. I don't know.
And then also, like, I mean, everything you said, like, it's one of those, I'm like, damn, that could happen to you. But at the same time, it's like, damn, that's over here too.
Right.
Like, it's such a two side of this coin that we're saying. And I think as well, because we're American and because we are able to create and hold this space, hopefully in a comfortable manner that people are able to share their stories. Mm-hmm. you really get to see a side of people that you may not necessarily see through social media or, mm-hmm. or anything like that. Like, just the pure authenticity that we've gotten this season mm-hmm. has just, like, blown my mind. Mm-hmm. And 100% has made me rethink, like, how I present myself to the world mm-hmm. and owning that power again, mm-hmm. which I fucking love.
Mm-hmm.
But as y'all could tell, there is only two voices on this podcast at the moment. So just a little update. You know, we had decided to pause Melanin Speaking about a year and a half ago after our last season because this is a personal project. That means personal funds are put into it and life happens, man. It's expensive. And even though podcasting is probably not the most expensive project to have, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time, dedication, going out and doing things that aren't going to necessarily pay you back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us felt that quite a bit for a while. And I think as well, it was a good time to just kind of take a pause. And, you know, me and Renisha had moved and then Chelsea and Jordan had their own things going on. So, like, yeah, it was just a good time to take a pause and rethink everything. And the, you know, Chelsea and Jordan have now decided to, you know, leave the podcast and continue on whatever journeys that bring them success and peace and all that, you know. So I think it's one of those things that, you know, it's good to take that time to reflect and to also, like, reassess your capacity when you can do these things. And I mean, me and Renisha definitely took some time to, like, think if, you know, us moving to Scotland, doing our masters, now getting jobs, trying to deal with visa stuff. Ugh. Mm. Fuck you.
They don't want us anywhere.
Right. Honestly. So I think all of that mixed together really did make us take a big step back to reevaluate if we could even continue doing this. And I mean, I'm not going to speak for both of us, but I think we came together and recognized that, like, through this podcast, essentially, we were trying to create a community, trying to create connections and build that sense of belonging. And I think both of us, I mean, Renisha, definitely jump in, but I think both of us definitely were like, this is such a great way for us to do that and to connect with people. And we just didn't want to give that up quite yet. So,
yeah, I think, I mean, piggyback everything you all said, Melanin Speaking just has, like, such a near and dear to my heart because it's such, I don't know, I don't think about it as a project. I think of it as a passion. You know, it's one of those where, like, I'm so passionate about building that diverse and uplifting voices of people of color. To me, it's just so important. And I want to be someone who makes an impact, you know, wherever I am in life. And I think, yeah, my time in Scotland, it was a lot of learning, a lot of growing individually. But at the same time, I was missing Melanin Speaking when we didn't do it for the year. And I was just like, there's something missing within me. And I was like, let's start this back up. So yeah, starting back Melanin Speaking. And again, the reward of listening to the stories that we were able to come by just gave me that confirmation of this is definitely something I need to continue to do in my life. This is the right path. If anything, if all, you know, the shit goes off the wall with everything else, Melanin Speaking is always going to be the right thing. And I really much enjoy that. So, yeah.
Yeah, agree. I think it's that part about creating space for people of color to share their story. Like, there's just not enough of that. Or not enough of that collectively for people and migrants and everything. It's just, yeah. Anyway, so we're here. we're here. We're back. But, I mean, let's give the people a little bit of update. Last time we talked about Scotland, we were doing our masters. And, well, what's going on now? Let's talk about work, life, visa love. Give us a little wrap up.
Well, it's a quick one because work is shit. Life is shit. Visa, shit. Love, shit. So, yeah, it's pretty much shit. Nah, let me do that. honestly, yeah, graduating, first of all, something I had to recognize a lot here is the fact that I've had the ability to graduate overseas and actually receive a master's. Something I've been, told several times that they're proud of me, and it's just, you know, the capability of doing it. So me, I would say about months ago, it's actually when I recognized that, like, damn, I actually did that. So give us props for actually graduating, honestly, getting our master's degree. But after that, it's like, what's next? And, you know, that grind starts of like, you've got this degree. Now let's try to put that to work and finding jobs. And I think we're continuing to do that because we want a certain job that we're both passionate about. And I think for me, I want a job that I can create such an impact and also not make it feel like a job, but also that flexibility. Because I currently go into the office every day and it's killer here in Scotland. And right now, Scotland's weather is going bazonkers. But yeah, so when it comes to work, I'm definitely finding it a bit difficult to finding that like job I deserve, if that makes sense. And again, what I deserve is what society, I believe, tells me I can only get as that job. So what I mean is, like, you know, they tell you always you need to get some sort of school degree in order to get a job. I did that. I also got a master's. Now, where is the job that deserves to pay me what my master's is? You know what I'm saying?
It's a lie.
And it's one of those where I'm, like, recognizing that. Yeah, it's the same over here. But also as well, like we've said previously in our podcast, in the sense of like the names and the race and the gender does come into play as well in the UK. And you're definitely getting that. You're definitely getting that when it comes to applying for jobs, your CV, how it looks. And then when you actually go into interviews, how people are like responding or reacting to you. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really recognizing and... Yeah, all your girl can do is be optimistic. And I think one thing for sure, I am a survivor. I'm going to keep hustling. I'm going to keep, right, come on, Destiny's House. Like, I'm going to keep fighting and doing things. Like, eventually things are going to work out. And I know that. As well as, like, you know, with this visa. I now have to find a job, which it's, like, one of those for me. It's, like, I should have been looking for jobs with this pay anyways. But looking for the job that would just accept me. But now I feel like with the new visa immigration laws here in the UK, of finding that annual, at least an annual salary of $37,800, I feel like sometimes it's one of those signs in a sense of like, that's what you should have been applying for in the beginning. Like, again, master's degree, get paid what the master's degree is worth. But I understand that's different within all industry. So yeah, it's been an interesting work visa life experience. Mm-hmm. We're gonna see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, building off everything you just said, right? Like, there's so much. So not that there's so much what you said, but there's so much about that work visa mm-hmm. life, right? So like, while you're in the search of like a career that you feel like you deserve and, you know, making sure that you're getting everything that you're working towards and gaining all that. I feel like for me, it's completely different. Like, I feel like for a long time in my head, I was like, okay, if I want to get to this career, I got to do X, Y, and Z. And now I'm in a space where I can explore that career that I wanted to be in. And now I'm a bit confused if I even want to continue that path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now I'm trying to think like, why do I even have this idea that I have to be a career woman, that mm-hmm. I have to know what I'm supposed to do with my life mm-hmm. to make X, Y, and Z money? And I mean, I don't know. Like, I think I'm going through this whole, I don't want to say regeneration because I keep hearing that word. But like, I'm reevaluating everything that I thought I wanted and thought I believed in. And for right now, that work part is a big one because I feel like recently I had a conversation with somebody and they kind of opened my eyes to like, oh, well, I'm not just working and focusing on my life on what job I'm going to get next or what career I want to have. Like, I'm focused on let me make some money so then I can go do the things that I want to do. And I'm like, okay, fair. Like, I've heard that before. But even they were like, yeah, I was like, and they kept talking. And I was just like, damn, you're right. I have in my head that I have to, in order for me to feel value in myself and feel like I made it, I have to have some type of career. I have to be that career woman, right? Because my family propped me up so I can go to school, so I can get these degrees, so I can get this money. And now I'm thinking about it. I'm like, damn, I don't even know if I want that. Like, I don't know if I want to have that type of thing. I don't even know if I want to just do one thing or if I want to go out and explore different things under that same umbrella. And I feel like that's where I'm at work-wise. And that's kind of a little bit, it makes me a little bit uneasy, to be fair, because I'm like, I don't have a clear career or work goal now. But I also find that kind of freeing because now it's like, I don't have to limit myself to anything I thought I needed to do to get to where I needed to go. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, if I want to try something, fuck it. Let me just try it. Mm-hmm. And I think I've always come to terms that, you know, y'all, I want to be in the charity and NGO sector. That's not going to pay me. Those jobs don't pay. Those jobs don't pay unless I'm like this fancy ambassador, UN person, you know, come from a nice family, been curated to be this type of person in public, and I'm just not that person, and I will never be in that type of sphere or feel comfortable in that. Like, I'm dirty grassroots girl. Get me, you know, on the floor with the people in the community. Let me build it up that way. Like, I'm always going to be that type of person. So I think it's for me recognizing that that's where I am and that's my space that I like and enjoy to be in. And how to find a career in that, you know, I'll keep you all posted. We'll see. We'll see what happens. And again, with this visa thing, like, very much what you're saying, like, why have I never been looking for jobs that have always paid me that salary? But then I start looking and I'm like, yo, you know, 37,000-38,000 British pounds in the UK as a salary is relatively, like, if it's relatively high. Like, even for people coming out of uni, like, it's not like in the States where, you know, you come out with your 4-year degree, you start making 40K. Like, that's not equivalent here. Like, it's a little bit different. But I also keep thinking back. I'm like, this is the first time I've seen just UK citizens really upset about these visa rules because they're like, damn, I can't even get a job that pays that much. How do you expect a migrant coming over here to get a job that pays that much?
That's the point.
That's the point. Mm-hmm. Right. So, like, again, it's like one of those things where this outrageous policy is starting to highlight just how racist the system is. And honestly, how much the UK is trying to be like the US, which is kind of wild. But again, the journey is as it is. And we'll see how everything goes. But yeah, work, life, and visa is just... But now, the fun stuff. The love.
Is it fun?
The love. That's what they keep telling me. I'm waiting for it too. It's fine.
What love? I gotta love myself around here. Honestly, that's what I've literally just come into terms with. Mm-hmm. Loving myself, which is fine. And then whenever I feel bored, entertain myself on these apps. Because that's what it is. Entertaining.
Entertaining.
Or if I'm hungry and, you know, I don't feel like paying something, then, you know, again, turn to these apps or something. Tell me I'm wrong.
I plead the fifth. Okay.
Where were you yesterday? Excuse me. But no, I mean, I feel like it's interesting because, like, again, before coming over here, you know, people were so into that, like, Outlander movie. Not movie, oh, the TV show. The TV series.
I
can't lie.
Yeah, I was one of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not me, ever.
100% was one of them.
But that man, I don't know his name.
Sam Heughan.
Look at you. Look at you.
Yes.
He had an Amazon Prime show. I remember us watching that beforehand.
You Men in Kilts. Your house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Him and that bald man.
Yes, and that bald man.
Even the bald man was good looking.
Fine. And, you know, both of them were fine.
And I never turned down a, you know, a silver fox looking man. Ever. Or like,
that looked like that?
Yeah.
Beard all tidy, look so, like it smells good.
Imagine my surprise when you come over to Scotland. It's like nothing like that.
Where?
Even though, like, people around. But, like, again, these apps are wild, right? Like, you'll get everything and anything. And to be fair, because we live together, we're in the same, like, vicinity and everything, we have to, like, make sure we're not swiping on the same person. Or if we do, you know, be like, hey, are you talking to so-and-so? Be like, oh, yeah, I've already spoken to him. Be like, okay, cool, thanks. But then if you, like, tell the boy, be like, oh, listen, you've been talking to my best friend, it's not gonna work out because, you know, I don't do my best friends, whatever. And then they're like, wait, who's your best friend?
Are we talking about the story I think we're talking about?
Yeah,
we're, oh my god, yes. Tell the world.
So, okay, we'll just start it. So basically, I was like, looking at a phone, giggling, whatever. And then Nat's like, who are you making a giggle? And I'm like, oh, this boy, so-and-so. And she was just like, let me see. And so I showed her, and she made the face. She made the famous face. And when she makes that face, I already know. I'm like, well, great. And she was like, yeah, that we already did. We already seen that guy. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I told the guy, I was like, hey, listen, you've already, like, seen my friend. This ain't gonna work out. And he's like, who's your friend? And I'm like, the girl that's on my profile. Mind you, Nat and I have each other on the profile picture, so
yeah,
people know that literally we know each
saying,
other.
Literally saying, if you swipe on my beautiful best friend or match with my beautiful best friend, do not match with me.
Right. They don't listen.
They don't listen. They don't even look.
They test the waters.
They do.
Okay.
They think we're dumb.
Yeah. Right. Like, we don't live with each other. So he's like, he's like, no, that's my neighbor. That's what got me.
Neighbor again, and really good friends.
Right. Because, first of all, where we live, it's like, it kind of is like an old folks home. It's a 3-floor kind of building. And we know our neighbors. I know Miss Joyce across the building. And then second below is like this couple. And then there's like this new older man. Like, we know who these people live with us, right? So when he said, that's my neighbor and that's my good friend, I was like, oh, so we're neighbors.
Right. So we're neighbors.
We're neighbors. Okay, cool. So moving forward, like, he then messages us like, oh, Natalia.
Okay. Girl.
All right. And then he proceeds to tell me their interaction, which I was like, okay, I don't need to know all that. But he then proceeds to tell me their interactions. And at the very end, it's like, sorry for lying. But I'm like, I already knew, like, because also, well, I skipped this part. Beforehand, he was like, oh, I'm upfront. You know, I would never, lie. I'm a trustworthy person. I like to be, you know, forward or whatever. Okay. So you were real forward and telling me your neighbor and best friend is my best friend.
Right.
Like, okay, cool. So, yeah.
That was too funny. And I'm just really thinking, like, I mean, in the U.S., you never realize how big you are. And so you come to a country like Scotland, and it's like, y'all, it's a small place.
It's a small place.
We are going to catch you in a lie if you're lying.
Right.
And the fact, like, I will never, and, like, I'm not going to lie, this got me feeling some type of way because.
It really did. I told you all what he said. And you were just, like, perked back up.
I did. First of all, when she told me what he said about me, I was like, damn, I like her. I vibe with that. She owned that scenario.
Oh my God.
But also, I'm thinking, you really think we're dumb. And, like, it's the audacity of a white man that will just do these things.
If you didn't know, he was a white man.
If you didn't know, now you know. But you probably already guessed. It's just insane to me. Anyway, so that's love life in Scotland.
Honestly, that is the love life in Scotland. And, like, sometimes I'm like, when I'm swiping, it's just like, all right, Renisha, you know, switch it up a bit. So, like, trying to get my variety out there, but it's not much variety, but there are variety in the sense of, like, brown men. And I mean that, like, Pakistanis, Turkish, Indian, whatever. And they're great times as well. They're give me, like, the Habibi shit. And I love that. Right.
But also, like, the queen.
There's not very much tall people here. And for me, that's a problem. Because I'm 5'7". So if everyone in this country is 5'7" and lower, yeah, Renisha's not interested. And that's so, I know that's so bad of me, right? But at the same time, like, I don't want to look down on you. Like, I want someone. I don't know. That's a bad thing to say.
I just feel like you have terrible luck because I think, like, damn, I don't think I've dated very many people that are under 6 feet. But then also I have a very different type. Very nerdy, very awkward, very quirky. And for some reason, those tend to be all the tallest people in Scotland. So I'm sorry, friends.
Yeah. Yeah, our taste in men. We say our taste in men is not the same, but there's, like, a few here and there. Because obviously we'll swipe on the same person. But yeah, I think now it's like, yeah, Renisha just needs to start taking herself out. Because honestly, they're not doing much.
It's not fulfilling either. And I feel like we've talked about this before anyway with this whole, like, sexualization fetishizing. And that hasn't changed, just to update y'all. But, like, as well, I think it's gotten to the point where it makes us recognize that we don't have to lower our standards to meet what's out there at this point. Like, it's not worth it.
I would say, though, the ones I've been, like, very much attracted to, got my heart or whatever, have been non-Scottish people. Mm. Those are the ones that I've lost my shit for, let's just say, right? But, yeah, don't make that face.
Fair, fair, fair.
But when it comes, and it's, again, nothing on them, it's just, like we said, the conversation and also the feeling of, like, understanding as, like, a brown or a black person. And not that, let me rephrase that in a sense of there's some brown and black people, as there is back in the States, who has that understanding. But then there's some who has that same mindset of they don't see the racism. They don't see how their skin color gets them and doesn't get them to places. Like, they're just like, oh, no, that's has nothing to do. You have an American mindset. That doesn't happen here.
Ugh, I hate that.
And it really, really disappoints me. But at the same time, I'm just like, all the time, like, oh, that mindset is here as well. I thought it was just American people who did that. So, yeah, I'm just like, you get a little bit of here, a little spice there. Mm-hmm. Like, it really depends. But
I think what you said, and I kind of want to kick off on this one, that American mindset, right? And I think, like, through dating and, like, other stories that we have, just show, like, just 100% revalidates, not revalidates, but 100% just highlights the different characteristics that Americans may have.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of them that you said, right? It's like, we always see race or whatever, which mm-hmm. I'm not going to harp on that too much on this episode, but right. Stay tuned.
Right.
But what do you think is another characteristic that you learned, whether it be life, dating, whatever, just your life in Scotland, that is American, that you didn't think, oh shit, is this American, until you moved here?
There's so many. But I mean, something I get told a lot here is just like how outspoken we are, or how loud we are. And I say loud, not like these people are like not shouting and stuff like that, but we're just loud in our opinions and loud with, to some, our voices, I guess, that I've been told and made me stop and realize, like, oh, is that an American trait?
I think that loudness is a big one. And because I feel like, I mean, that's why it's at the beginning of our thing now, right? That's our whole, those loud Americans are at it again. I'm not going to lie. My laugh is like loud. You can hear my laugh in a crowd. It's cool.
You really can.
Whoops. But yeah, no, I really like that you also said we're loud about our opinions, because that is, I feel like British people in general, and not even limited to Scotland, they're just so passive as well. And so, like, anytime you bring up a touchy subject or anytime you bring up something that they're not used to communicating out in public, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, oh, you're loud. Oh, you're aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I'm direct.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have open conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Let's rethink how we're saying these certain things. But yeah, and those are like some things that I don't think I ever thought were American traits. Until I came here. Or let me take that back. Maybe I did think they were American traits, but I didn't think they were my American traits.
Mm.
Right? So, like, loudness, over opinionated, like, back home, I could be like Trump supporters, right? And that would be like, no, I'm not like them. That's not me. That's not my culture. That's not what a Latin American is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I come here and I'm like, damn, I am upfront. Damn, I do make people uncomfortable, which my favorite thing in the world to do, especially white people. But, like, yeah, that made me sit and be like, damn, that really is just an American thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, to be fair, I wouldn't change it. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But 100%, that does come with some caveats of, like, maybe not having as many Scottish friends or maybe not having as big of a Scottish circle because you don't follow that same kind of, like, I don't know, social cues and stuff. What do you think?
Yeah, but you saying that, and I'm sitting here thinking to myself and, like, trying to place myself in the environments that I've been in. And, yes, our American culture has that, like, loud, open opinion. What we say is kind of, like, what we said. Like, you can take it, leave it, however.
Uh-huh.
But I feel like, in a way, and maybe at this point, it's kind of, like, I feel like we're kind of bullying the Scottish culture right now.
I wouldn't say that.
I wouldn't say that, but it's giving Scottish people.
It's giving ill British.
But, like, at the same time, again, Scotland in itself has different cultures within itself already. And I feel like the African culture is also pretty much, like, they're loud as well. And I don't want to say that in a sense of, like, oh, Africans, Black people, first of all, there's not just Black people in Africa, but, like, recognizing that they as well have their own interpretation of what we will interpret it as loud as well, and very forward with what the way they're thinking. And of course they have their culture and the way they perceive the gender, the race, all of that, right? It's very interesting to see here. And again, I feel like there's some sort of commonality when it comes to these cultures within a predominantly white country, that we do have that sense of work hard ethic, being, you know, closed mouths don't get fed kind of way of thinking. And it's like, it's not a bad thing at all. I think sometimes in a setting, we can deem it to be like, oh, maybe we should watch what we're saying because we don't want to be too insensitive to someone, right? But at the same time, like you said, when they're being passive about it, it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, it really does make you stop and be like, wait a minute, what did you say? Uh-huh. And then you kind of kick yourself, because sometimes, like, I'm faulty at this. Sometimes I'll, like, don't say anything right then and there because it just takes me aback. But, like, if you're like me and replay it in your head, and then I'm responding, be like, listen, in a way that I would. Yeah, sometimes it's just like you try to adapt to where you are. But at the same time, like we've said, over time with the visas, the jobs, or just anything in life where it just doesn't want us to succeed. Mm-hmm. It just wants our money and the tax that we have to pay. That's not the way our cultures want to live. We want to be business women and men. We want to have some sort of succession for ourselves, not only for ourselves, but our future generations. And I think we're always going to have that kind of mindset, which is so powerful and so intimidating to predominantly white countries. And you can definitely see that everywhere, where they try their damnedest to, like, shut us down or, like, make us fall back steps so many times. But we're always going to be like, okay, cool, you put this blocker, I'm going to find some way to, like, go around it, go through it, whatever, because that's just the kind of people we are. And so sometimes I think, like, yeah, it's an American trait because America has this reputation. But these other cultures as well, again, not just Africa, but you have, like, the different parts in Asia. And there's even some, like, there's a few, very few, but, like, Latin Americans here as well that making some sort of impact within these large communities. And it's so refreshing to see. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, it gives me a bit of validation, even though I'm not part of that culture. It gives me a bit of validation of who I am as a person of color. Mm-hmm. Thriving.
Yeah, I think seconding everything you said, but also picking up on a key thing that always strikes me in a way that's both, like, sad to hear and see, but then also makes me think, like, there has to be another way. So, like, everything you're describing is that migrant immigrant mentality, right? You're not leaving the place that you're born just to leave it to leave it. You're leaving it for something better. Mm-hmm. And because you're leaving it for something better, you have that guilt that you have to work hard, that you have to grind, that you have to struggle, that you have to do all these things to make it, because you're up and rooting and taking possibilities that not everybody has, right? And so I think for me, it's always hearing that, and the analogy that, you know, you were saying, like, if there's a wall, I think about it always in immigration policy and stuff. I feel like no matter where you go, people don't want migrants. But I can't even say that. I think people will prefer who they want, and they will never prefer a person of color. Mm. And I feel like that in itself is always striking to see in different contexts. Like, no matter what country you go to, there's always going to be a preferred look. There's always going to, even in, you know, predominantly POC countries. Like, that's just the kind of system that we were taught to have, right? That colonial system set this shit in place, mm-hmm. and makes everybody think that there's a preferred race, there's a preferred person, there's a preferred look of somebody I want to let in my country. And I feel like that in itself will always fuck me up a little bit, because how do you fight that? Mm-hmm. And how do you also make people of color feel like they're valued enough to where they don't have to have that hard worker mentality, that if they just want to live, mm-hmm. to live, like if they just want to move to do something different, they should have that right. Mm-hmm. Right. And so like for me, I always end up going down this tunnel in my head, like, yeah, I mean, us moving here now allows opportunities for our families and people that look like us to take that different route, that they don't have to stay in, you know, a country that's supposedly supposed to be a melting pot of cultures and the best place in the world. Mm-hmm. Because that's not necessarily true. And I think it's not until you move and experience that that you know that. But not everybody has that choice. And not everybody is as easy for everybody. Mm-hmm. So, like, going back to this wall, I keep thinking, like, yeah, when we meet other people that migrate to Scotland, we're always going to make those connections with those people, because there's a sense of we climbed that wall and we just kept bringing people, even though they kept trying to build that wall taller and taller. Mm-hmm. No, we're all still doing it. We're all using each other and propping each other, bringing each other up and over, because mm-hmm. that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And I think that's that fundamental sense of community that I always look for. Mm-hmm. And what we're finding a little bit slowly.
Yeah.
Here.
At the end. Yeah. Just kidding. It's not the end. But no, 100% agree with you. 100% agree. And that's why I'm so grateful for this opportunity. Again, I have to, you know, remind myself of these achievements that we do, because, you know, if I keep dwelling on the what ifs and, oh, am I on the right path? It's definitely not getting me anywhere where I need to be. Mm-hmm. But also, that's that part of that growth within me of recognizing, like, damn, girl, you did it. Are you going to continue to do it? It may not be as fast as you want it to be. It may not be like the person you see on these social media channels, but you're going to get where you need to be with the help of family, friends, yourself, that community. Yeah, it's a lot to process, but I think as well, something I'm being really better at is like the journaling process and reconnecting with myself, and introducing the creative side of myself, of attending more dance classes or paint classes, and even attending gigs. You know, I've never been to as much gigs of my life until I moved to Scotland, but all great things of just finding discovery, and as well just within doing that, I find a new connection each time, which is something, again, I need to treasure. And I think this year, I'm super curious as to how everything that's been rolled and tumbled towards us is going to play out. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Which kind of leads me to this final thing I want to do. Reflective corner.
It's like your game show.
But yeah, no, because I think, again, as people of color, we never look back. We always try to look forward. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that halts, like, us growing and thriving, because we're just always in survival mode, right? Mm-hmm. So, in Reflective Corner, we're going to do four questions. And we're going to do, like, you're going to give me one sentence or whatever per question. Or okay. A word. One word or sentence. Real short, but just like a little bit of a little tidbit. So, what was the most challenging thing for you in 2023?
I would say most challenging thing was being able to do things without the need of comfortability from someone else. Mm.
I like that. I mean, yeah. I feel that. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the most challenging thing, shit, there was a lot, not necessarily getting validation from men. Mm-hmm. I think that one was a big challenging thing for me. Mm-hmm. All right. We're getting deep already. Hold up.
You said one sentence. I know. I was like, I gotta shorten this.
You know? Because it's not to go into a full-ass rant.
Yeah.
So what went well for you in 2023?
I think the most thing, not the most, but I think what went well for me last year was getting the validation of me making some sort of impact within my university. So long story short, I was asked to be on a panel to speak about being a person of color within the university campus. And I think that was like my first time ever, being on a panel. But I was just like shocked because the person reached out to me and was like, someone had recommended you. Mind you, I've been out of uni for a year already. And I was just so shocked that someone even remembered me, and the things that I did in uni impacted them to recommend me to the director to put this on the panel. So I think that was like my highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Or what went well.
Yeah, amazing. And also, I don't think I've said enough how proud I am for you taking that opportunity as well. Because I think it's one thing to be offered that opportunity, but mm-hmm. it's another thing to be like, nah, I can do this and smash it. And I'm doing it. And I feel like that.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Fucking great. Thanks.
Getting mushy.
No, I think, funnily enough, I think mine was similar. So it's last year, I think, being recognized for skills that I have. And at work, for those things to just be recognized and to be offered a project. So I also host another project for my work, another podcast for my work. And, you know, it was one of those things where they found out I had skills. They were like, oh my God, this is amazing. Do you want to do this? And I was just kind of taken back because it, one, doesn't fall into anything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But then two, to be recognized that what I did was valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's just that bit, right? You work so hard, not used to being recognized for anything, that when opportunities pop up, it's kind of like, oh shit, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh shit, cool.
Mm-hmm.
I am good.
Yeah.
What I do, right? Anyway, next question. In what ways have you changed or grown in 2023? I think I've been less rigid with what I want to do in life, which for me is a big change because I'm a Taurus, I ain't gonna lie. I'm very stubborn and it's really difficult for me to move directions quickly. So if I'm stuck in a habit or if I am comfortable, I'm not even gonna say stuck, if I'm comfortable at where I am, I don't see a point in changing it up too much. So that's something I think I did last year really well, is moving a little bit that dial and changing. And then the second thing is putting myself in places to socialize. Because, again, Taurus, comfort. I also like being alone. And I also like just chilling in the house and doing the thousand different hobbies that I think I have. And that doesn't necessarily, those hobbies aren't like hobbies, social hobbies. They're not things that I would necessarily do with other people a whole lot. Minus the gaming. But even then, not always. So I think those two things were things that I worked on in 2023 that now I think I'm going to try to reap in 2024. But yeah, what about you? You have some time to think.
I think something that I've changed in 2023 is feeling guilty for a lot of things that is out of my control, but just due to me being an elder child and just always having some sort of like responsibility or feel the need to be as an older sibling would, I feel less guilty for not being the forefront of a lot of things, and that's definitely with the help of getting like a life coach and talking to a mentor about these things. And I've definitely grown in the sense of trying to be more open and outspoken with my emotions, because I feel like I'm just the kind of person who would like, if you know me, I'll cry if I'm very much frustrated, but, like, I won't actually, like, express my emotions way beforehand. It's, like, that buildup. So being able to communicate how I feel beforehand, before the buildup, I think I've grown in that sense, and I'm continuing to grow because it's, like, not easy to do, but every day I'm... Last year, I've really, really recognized that and have grown in that sense and hopefully continue to do so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think that's such a powerful one to do because mm-hmm. I feel like it's also one of those, like you're saying, it's going to be continual.
Mm-hmm.
Like, recognizing an emotion is a big step.
Mm-hmm.
But to also express that emotion mm-hmm. is a whole different game, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely on the list.
Yeah.
So, wrapping up. Based on the three things that you said, what is something you want to take forward from 2023 into 2024?
Good vibes. Positive energy. Sage it out. I mean, all the good things, to be fair with you. And, like, the continued growth within myself, the continued reflection, but also the continuation of... loving myself, because that is just something I feel like I've not done since moving here, and it's just like nothing to do in a fault setting, but yeah, I just want to enjoy life to the fullest, but also continue to push on how I want to be some sort of businesswoman in a way that just impacts the community. Like, again, with everything we talked about when it comes to, like, the visa and work and just life, that's why I also say I'm so curious how this year's going to go. For me, it's just been pushing me to, like, find new resources and connections and ways of doing something and to continue to do that this year, you know, because, again, I'm unsure how 2024 is going to go for me, but I... And damn sure that I'm not going to give up, I think. And so, yeah, that's how I want 2024 to be, is 2024 to be that growth.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I love that. And I think for me, hearing that does reaffirm what I think as well for myself. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not just bringing parts of myself into 2024. I'm bringing my whole self
mm-hmm.
into 2024. And I'm owning all of who I am
mm-hmm.
and I'm not shying away from any part of myself. I'm not hiding any part of myself. I'm not sugarcoating any part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get me as me mm-hmm. through my trauma responses, through my fucking loud ass laughter,
mm-hmm.
through my awkward things where I may not like being feeling, so I'm gonna make a joke and laugh, but then also, you know, whatever. Like, all of it. You're yeah. getting all that mix.
Yeah.
In 2024, because I'm tired of, you know, picking and choosing what side I want to show people when. What face am I going to put on today? It's
mm-hmm.
exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
We're tired. Exhausting. I'm mm-hmm. done.
So we don't have time.
We don't have time.
We do not have time.
There's so many other things already thrown in 2024. We ain't got time.
All right. Like, next thing you know, it's December.
Don't
I know.
Even say that.
Not to rush anybody's life. Like, that's never something. But listen, you'll blink and be like, wait, what happened?
What happened? Wait, it's... Shit.
Fun fact, I was on social media, as always, right? Mm-hmm. And do you remember the Disney Channel TV show, Xenon?
Yes.
Right.
So the TV show or the movie?
It was the movie.
Yes.
So someone
zoom,
said,
zoom,
exactly.
Make my heart go boom, boom, my supernova girl.
Someone said that movie was made...
Don't even.
24-ish years ago.
Okay.
Right?
Wow.
24 years ago. But in the movie...
No.
It had the year like 2040 or 2040, something in the 40s, right? And she was like, we're halfway there since we've seen that movie. And I was like, oh.
They did that for us.
Oh.
They did that for us. So they would be like, y'all going up here now, but watch. When you become 40, you're going to be like, damn,
mm-hmm.
where the fuck is Xenon shit?
So just keep that in mind in a sense of...
we're old.
We're getting up there in age, but also time is flying.
Time is flying. Wisdom. My wine is ripening.
Ew.
Well, I don't know what just happened.
I don't know what that means.
Bars.
Bars. What are you, Megan Thee Stallion? Not us promoting the girls' music.
I mean,
obviously.
I love her.
We love her. But yes, like, this is one of those moments where, again, I appreciate what we're doing, the community we're building, but also the life lessons we're obtaining for ourselves and bringing that to here to that podcast. And I really hope that people are listening and getting that same feeling of hope, optimism, you know, that reflection on themselves, but also seeing that the journey for individuals are going to be different. But if you continue to work with yourself, but also remember it's okay to ask for help and look for that community. Oh, that's so big. I'm gonna say it again. Continue to ask for help and look for that community. It's going to help you in the end. And I'm not just saying finding one community. There's gonna be multiple communities, and that's something we're gonna talk about further in our podcast. It's gonna be multiple communities that you need to find, and once you find those groups, you're set. Mm-hmm. And they're going to help you, push you, and get to where you need to be correctly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm super excited for everyone to listen to this future podcast.
Yes.
And I hope that you guys connect with us throughout the season, right? Like, don't just listen and be like, oh, okay, that was cute. Let us know how you're feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And if, also as well, if you're someone in a higher industry or just someone with well experience, let us know. Because again, your voice, your journey can also help someone else. And that is the goal of our podcast. Like, just uplifting us people of color.
Mm-hmm. And you don't even have to be in a high industry. You could just be an expert, whatever you're doing. Mm-hmm. That doesn't. You could just be doing what you're doing and the best at it. Mm-hmm. Definitely come to us. Also, definitely, while you're listening to our episodes, share to our stories, tag us and shit, quote things. Absolutely, quote things. Please
run it up.
Yes, because you're also helping me with my social media weeks. Ha ha.
Yeah, she needs help, y'all.
Yeah, I really do. I'm terrible. I'm so bad at it. I will share, but I will not post. But yeah, make sure to follow us on Melanin Speaking Podcast, Instagram, LinkedIn,
Facebook, and eventually TikTok and all those other places. But you'll find us on all of the social media channels. But if you want to give us a holla, I holla. That's how old we are. If you want to give us a holla, email us. We are more than welcome to listen to your story, but also connect you with all the right people that we may know.
And continue listening to the season. Don't know what I'm doing.
Bye.